All right. Hello, and welcome to... Are you recording?
Oh, yeah.
Take two.
Engage. The Rancor's Ruffle. Great Scott. Get off my...
Hello, and welcome to the Rancor's Brothel, issue number 66. This is the Death to the Jedi number, Order 66, from episode 3. Thank you. I'm your co-host, Matt.
And I'm your co-host, Cody.
Today, we're gonna get going on a pretty fun little subject that I really enjoy. But first, Cody, what you been reading?
What have I been reading? Well, we both had, we agreed this past weekend that we both had a similar experience with comic books where we went to the shop after some time away due to financial things. Cough, cough. Gen Con for myself, anyway. So I bought like 6 weeks worth of comics. So I have
Don't give them the price yet. I waited 6 weeks as well. And my cost was $38.92, which isn't that bad because I don't have a whole lot on my pull list. I purchase classic comics, and I read a lot of stuff in trade paperback form. There's very few things that I collect issue to issue every single week. You know, Walking Dead, Wolverine, Batman 66, a couple things, you know? Nothing major.
Yeah.
Now, Cody, what did 6 weeks of holding back on comics cost you?
We will say just on the plus side of 3 digits. Not much.
It's still a ridiculous amount to me. That's so funny.
Man, it's just, it's an addiction. What can I say? No, what's sad is my wife pointed out, she guessed a number that was significantly higher, and she started, I was like, nah, that's ridiculous. And then she started explaining to me, well, if you buy this many a week at this price for 6 weeks, and I was like, oh God, she might actually be right. It might be that much. But I had just reduced my pull by about, I want to say, 12 or 13 titles.
Oh, shit.
Like, well,
and
about 6 weeks
that much after 6 weeks.
That doesn't include, I got to figure out where I am in Batman Eternal, because I don't have Batman Eternal on my pull.
Oh, okay.
For Lucas, I do not have The Wicked and the Divine yet on my pull list. I did pick it up, but I don't have it on my pull list. I need to get that on there as well.
That is fucking ridiculous.
So huge pile. I haven't worked very far through it, but
yeah, I imagine myself as well. Like the Batman 66 run that I'm getting right now, I kind of want to sit and read it all at once, so I haven't started it.
Nice.
I think we're on 4 issues now of the Kevin Smith story, Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman, 12-issue arc, and I'm just kind of waiting on that. And then also the Wolverine stuff, I'm just really nervous about reading because they're killing him. And so I think I'm backed up like 3 issues on that, and I just cannot force myself to sit down and read.
Well, you should have gotten the last one already. Didn't that come out this past week?
I believe so.
Interesting.
And the annual was a part of the storyline as well.
Gotcha. No, I would be really interested in hearing how that turns out. I might borrow those from you, because I read the series right up until they started doing like the 3 months to the 3 months to live, 1 month to live, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah.
No, it seems
cool. Maybe I'll read it before next week. I don't know. I just don't want to cry.
He won't be dead for long. He makes so much money for them.
I know, but they'll want to reboot him and make it fresh. And, you know, I was amazed that in the Ultimate storyline that he's still dead.
That's fair. Well, you know, they're supposed to be much more, you know, the Ultimate storyline is supposed to be a little more hardcore. So if they killed him off there, theoretically he shouldn't come back. Because if they brought anybody back to life in the Ultimate universe that they've killed off?
Yes, Gwen Stacy, she was dead for a while. Who else? Yeah, a couple, because, at the end of the ultimatum wave, a couple of folks died that later show up again, but I can't recall who exactly. There's a couple of X-Men, and maybe one of the Fantastic Four.
Gotcha.
They died, but have since come back. I'm not sure now.
See, I thought the Ultimate Universe was supposed to play for keeps, but maybe not.
I don't know. I mean, what's awesome about it, you know, is like fucking Reed Richards is, like, crazy evil, and I don't know. It's trippy. It's a trippy world.
Very
it's
like, cool.
Yeah, the Hulk has pretty much never been a hero of any kind.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Anyway, I haven't really read much, so fuck it. We can move on from that. there has been an extraordinarily interesting development in the Walking Dead.
All right.
As of issue 130, and I almost feel like it would be too much of a spoiler to bring it up and talk about it. Like, I only have right now one or two people that have read it in my life, and they're the only people I've talked to about it, so I don't know. It's really weird.
Well, anytime you bring this up on a podcast, you and I both know, being avid podcast listeners, that you've already brought it up, so you might as well just say, spoiler, skip the next 30 seconds, and then say what the spoiler is.
All right, spoiler, skip the next 30 seconds. in issue 130, there's two guys are pinned down. They're, like, stuck in a ravine as walkers, like a huge herd of walkers, are going past. And the walkers were following these people who were, one of them is hobbled. He had fallen off his horse and broken his leg. And so they got to a point where they were able to hide properly, and the walkers were passing them by. But they were passing them by, like, within a foot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if they had just seen them. The one guy from that pair that survives and makes it back to what passes for civilization now hears them, says they're talking. Like, it's, like, very broken language, very basic, very childlike, and it's unclear if he's physically hearing it, or if it's in his head, or if he's hallucinating, like, or if he's reading their minds. Just an extraordinarily interesting, because, I mean, the only supernatural thing that's ever occurred in The Walking Dead is that the dead rose.
Right.
You know? And so it's very interesting that something else is occurring.
Interesting. So, is this... So, I mean, obviously you're getting the immediate reaction from this, but do you feel like, is this a major turning point? Is this a you know, are they evolving to become?
As me and Natalie discussed it, I think she was along the lines of the zombies evolving. But what I said was it could be explained as the gentleman had a latent ability, if you will. Because in the situation that he hears them, it's a complete fear response. So the adrenaline kicking in could have, you know, heightened his perceptiveness.
Right.
So he could be hearing them, but nobody else could, you know, kind of thing.
So...
And he's only hearing them say, like, you know, where are they? That kind of shit.
So you and you and Natalie are both firmly in the supernatural boat.
Well, no, telepathy is not supernatural.
It's pretty... I mean, you know, I don't think there's any proven telepaths out there.
Your face is a proven telepath.
I would say that it's just interesting that you both side on the supernatural, air quotes, as opposed to it being just matters of psychosis. That's interesting.
I will allow you to call it extra natural.
Extra natural.
Yes, but it's not supernatural. No, I mean, yeah, it could be psychosis, but I feel like that would be the obvious choice. And what they have just done recently, and I pointed it out before, is that in the comics they have they do like a skip ahead thing a couple years,
right?
And you know, the entire feel of it's different. The day to day is different. There's not a war with the next big bad or something crazy like that. There's not some roving gang of cannibals or fucking bikers or whatever that they have to fight now. You know, now it's about thriving. Like, up until issue 124, I think, or 125, it was about surviving, and now it's about thriving.
Gotcha.
And so I feel like if they're like, oh, it's psychosis, this guy's lost his mind, how do they deal with psychological illness in the zombie apocalypse? I just feel like that wouldn't, I don't think that would fly as a storyline right now.
That's fair, but I mean, so we're talking about, you know, he's sort of... They've had this lull of good times, you know, the sort of they've prospered and civilization's building itself back up.
Yeah, they have a mill, you know, they have blacksmiths now. It's cool.
You're trying to instill a new fear. You've got to inject some sort of new source of horror and terror into that.
Yeah, because a lot of folks out there were getting tired with the series. did you just kill your wife?
No. She's okay. Decided that now is the time to clean the office when I'm sitting in it.
Oh my god, you are such a dick when you say that.
I know.
Ah, you should kiss her feet. Oh, You awful man.
She laughed as soon as I said it.
So anyway, people were getting, like, the stories were getting stale for them. And they were starting to, I believe they were starting to lose readership, even with the popularity of the show.
Yeah.
But, so I feel like they have to take a fresh angle, and I think that's where we're at.
But see, I would find it interesting because the people who read The Walking Dead are not your cape and cowl type readers. They're not.
Well, I am.
Well, right. And there are plenty of them out there. But I mean, I know from personal experience, I've seen guys who walk into a comic book store who seem like they have no clue what they're doing and all they want's The Walking Dead because they watch the show, they want to read it. Like, I think the realism is a big kick. So it's quite a leap. You know what I mean? To go for a more supernatural angle when, like you said yourself, there has never been a real supernatural angle, you know?
Yeah, there was one time when, as a prank, Kirkman had a fake last page in which they got abducted by aliens. You know? And that was it.
So, see, I almost wonder if it's... In my mind, it's probably better to treat it as sort of a psychosis that builds into a creeping fear into all of them. Maybe you start seeing them move in more of a herd mentality. You kind of get that, oh, what was the Romero film with the smart zombie? It's one of the only new Romero films that I
read. Land of the Dead.
Yeah. If you get something like that, where they're starting to show something beyond just zombie.
They're starting to, through classical conditioning, they're, you know, starting to understand the world around them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, almost so that it you could assume that they're communicating, but that's two parts paranoia and one part observation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then that way you get the same storyline of, oh my God, they're talking to each other, but you don't, you know, sort of jump into that supernatural vein.
I want to go ahead and apologize for anybody that skipped forward 30 seconds and then got everything ruined for them. Sorry.
But that's okay. It's a good diatribe. So do you feel this is jumping the shark for The Walking Dead?
No.
Interesting.
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, I look forward to more updates. That sounds pretty interesting.
It's really fun. It's a really fun book. I mean, have you read like the first year or something, didn't you?
Yeah, I got your
You had my book one and book two for a while, right?
Yeah, so that's like, what, the first 70 issues or something like that? 60 issues?
Fuck no, it's not that many.
Oh, it's not? Oh, okay.
No.
It was a lot.
It's 24 issues.
There's only 12 in that book?
Yeah.
12 per book? Really?
Huh. In the bound editions, yeah. So if you get it and you have a softback copy, it's 4 issues. If you have a hardback, it's 12. And if you have a compendium, it's 48.
I gotcha. Okay. I guess I thought you handed me the compendiums.
No, no, no. God, no.
Gotcha.
I want them. Not gonna lie. Okay, moving on from what we've been reading and ruining for our listeners. Although, you know what? I listened to a podcast called Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and they got to watch, they're friends of Kevin Smith, and they got to watch the movie Tusk before it came out.
Yeah.
And they kept alluding to, like, there's this, like, hidden, there's this secret actor in it and what character he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end, they just, like, the very last thing before they sign off is one of the guys, Q from Impractical Jokers, just says, spoilers, it was blank. So the secret is no longer a secret.
You can't do that. It's really, really hard to talk about things like we do without revealing what we're talking about. So hopefully we didn't ruin anybody's good time and, you know, whatnot, but We gotta have a conversation here, and I feel enriched even though I'm not reading it, so hopefully nobody was too spoiled.
It's all good. Hey, did you watch any good geek movies this week?
Geek movies? No, but Ambrosia and I have been watching, have you seen Fringe?
I watched the first 2 seasons of that.
Gotcha.
And then it got weird and I stopped.
Because it wasn't weird to begin with.
I mean, it was pretty weird to begin with, but I don't know. It just moved weird for me. I just wasn't too happy.
I agree with that so far. We are...
And then they moved Glee to the same night, and my wife, like, I wasn't allowed to watch it anymore. it was Dancing with the Stars. So it was like this perfect storm of the show's turning out to not be that great, and then Dancing with the Stars is on at the same time. So
don't you lie and put that on Natalie. We all know you wanted to watch Dancing with the Stars.
Dave Coulier was on. Come on. Cut it out. Let's go.
No, we've been watching, I think we're like five-ish episodes in, six episodes. So we just started the past weekend or so, and it's interesting. I'm waiting for it to get good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those first five episodes are very ABC, following the numbers. Like, I think it was the third or fourth episode that I told her, oh, she interviewed that guy first. He's definitely in on it. She's like, how do you know that? And I was like, because that's the way every other episode has been so far. She interviews somebody who's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Turn to the side, evil maniacal laugh as he calls the other bad guys kind of thing.
You cracked the fringe code.
I did.
Damn.
But it's,
I've just been, oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, it's got a lot of interesting threads. I'll be intrigued, because I imagine by the end of the first season or so, they start coming together, and I'm interested to see where it goes.
Very cool.
Yourself? Anything nerdy?
I've just been watching Game of Thrones, rewatching Game of Thrones.
Nice.
Yeah, and Hell on Wheels has started back up, so I'm enjoying the fuck out of that.
I know it matters not to you, but we also have new Doctor Who. We're two episodes into the new season of Doctor Who. We have a new actor playing the Doctor, which is pretty awesome.
That's nice.
It is. Well,
is it nice? Are you enjoying it?
I do. It's interesting. So Peter Capaldi is the new Doctor. And whereas both David Tennant and Matt Smith, you're talking about actors in their, say, mid-30s, and then Matt Smith's like, I could almost believe he's late 20s. He's probably in his 30s, but, I mean, he looks very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
So the Doctor kind of became a sex symbol, or, you know, kind of like, oh, he's cute.
Matt Smith is not good looking.
I'm just saying that I'm not arguing with that, but
okay.
A lot of people are, I think they're on the Doctor Who bandwagon because of those things. Peter Capaldi is like a grumpy old man who half the time seems like he's okay if people around him die, which is not the Doctor Who vibe you get from the previous two Doctors, so it's a little jarring, and I like it quite a bit.
Oh, okay. You like the flip script there?
Yeah, because it's I've watched Hulu, if you're a huge Doctor Who fan, has the majority of the old episodes.
Like old 60s, 70s?
Yeah, like it goes back to episode one, season cool. one. And the Doctor is played by various iterations, and each one's supposed to be a little bit different. David Tennant and Matt Smith were kind of samey, not quite.
What about Eccleston?
See, Eccleston, that's a lot of people don't understand Eccleston. He's like supposed to be PTSD. So he always seemed angry for no reason, and a lot of people didn't like him. Mm-hmm. But it's because after seeing the day with the Doctor, you find out that the Doctor, that John Hurt was also one of the Doctors, and he was the war Doctor who went around like just killing bad guys wantonly. So Eccleston was supposed to be sort of this post-traumatic stress Doctor who's dealing with all the crazy, horrible stuff he had to do in order to, you know, save all of time and space and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But this, now we're back to grumpy old man Doctor, and, like, he keeps asking his companion the question, like, am I a good man? There's a particularly spoilery moment where he's talking to an android. So, spoiler alert, I'm going to ruin something. So there, Matt, you ruin something, I'll ruin something. How's that sound?
Deal.
Okay, so in the first episode, he's talking to this android, right? And you know Isaac Asimov's Three Laws of Robotics?
No.
Okay. It's basically, you know, a robot.
Oh, wait, from iRobot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, robots can't harm people, robots can't hurt things, and robots are supposed to preserve their life. Basically, mm-hmm. It's kind of the three rules in a nutshell. So there's this evil robot that's, like, deconstructing people and rebuilding itself with organic parts, trying to become sort of human.
Okay.
And so anyway, the Doctor and this robot are sort of having this chat while all the companions are in this huge fight for their lives elsewhere. And so the robot looks to the Doctor and says something to the effect of the Doctor says to him something about, you know that something's going to have to happen here. And because the only way that he's going to solve it is if this robot stops doing what he's doing and is murdering people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the robot says, self-preservation, or, you know, self-destruction is against my basic protocol. And the Doctor then says, killing people is against my basic protocol. And then they go a couple of scenes, and then it cuts back to that conversation. The Doctor looks to the robot and he says, but we know that one of us is lying about our basic protocol. And then the guy does a swan dive from like 200 feet, the android.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know. The big question is, did the Doctor push him out, or did the, or did he willingly commit, you know, sacrifice himself for the greater good of humanity? And like, if you're looking at the robotics law, it's like the Doctor pushed him out because he's kind of a dick. That's the way I interpret it anyway.
Do you think it was weird, you know, like Peter Capaldi, for all intents and purposes, was not really celebrity. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't like, oh, it's Peter Capaldi's going to be Doctor Who. It's amazing. But the last role he had before he got the job was on World War Z.
Yeah.
And he is credited as he worked for the World Health Organization.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a doctor. So it's Who Doctor.
That's fantastic. What it says
in the credits. Isn't that fucked?
So his IMDb is Who Doctor and then Doctor.
And then Doctor Who.
That's funny.
Something like that.
I wonder if somebody did that on purpose.
You know, you'd have to think so, right?
I say, because they announced he was going to be the new Doctor a while ago, but I don't know if that would have been before World War Z came out.
It was Comic-Con last summer.
It had been
San Diego last year.
It would have been close. Because I've known he's going to take over as the Doctor for almost... I want to say it's been about a year, so somebody might have done that on purpose. That's funny.
I just said it was last year at the Comic-Con.
Well, yeah, so I'm saying the dates and the times are lining up.
Okay. Let's talk about the meat and potatoes this week, buddy.
Yes, please. Introduce your subject of subjects, because I don't think we've said it yet, have we?
No, I got silly this weekend. We tried to record an episode about the Disney show Gargoyles. because I was too drunk to talk about anything else. But it's a good topic and a fun show, and we thought we'd talk about it. But we're not doing that this week, so sorry, Gargoyles fans. Look for that in a future episode. No, I want to talk about cryptozoology.
Yeah.
Something that I have really, really been into for a very long time. I believe in almost everything.
Matt is gullible. Sell him your Apple stock now.
I am not gullible, you dick. I just require proof. You know, I require proof to prove something, and I require proof to disprove something. Schrodinger's cat, man.
Oh, god dang Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah, that's the world I live in. I believe that once I'm sure there were dragons or something along those lines, you know? That All kind right. of a shit. Like, it's not just Bigfoot and Loch Ness. Like, I believe in that many of those things that we have heard of are paradimensional beings. Things that don't live in our plane of existence, but can sometimes be seen or sensed.
Interesting. So I'm curious, what's the origin story of this love of cryptozoology? Is there a point you can match up where little Matt suddenly this occurred to him that cryptozoology was a thing he was going to explore and perhaps believe in until proven wrong?
I mean, I don't know. It was back when I was a kid, we didn't have the internet. And we couldn't just, you know, fucking go to DirecTV and call up our favorite episode of something. On the early beginnings of the Sci-Fi Channel, they would replay this show. God, it was hosted by Leonard Nimoy. What was it called? It's like Strange Earth or Strange Coincidence or something like that. And it was like the news of the weird. And, you know, you would start to get these little, like, thing, like a Bigfoot story or, you know, some, oh, it's Lake Champ Monster. Oh, God, Lake Champlain. And then I started seeing, like, Unsolved Mysteries and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I don't know. And one of my favorite movies as a child was Harry and the Hendersons. Not gonna lie. But I don't know. The idea of it always intrigued me. Like, I really want to go on a fucking Squatch hunt. I don't know why. One of my bosses just went to Seattle, and like the first thing I said, I was like, "How's your trip?" She said, "Good." I said, "Did you go squatching?" And she didn't. And then she looked at me like I just said a dirty word.
It does sound a little dirty.
Squatching is. I know. Like, can you squatch over me and take a pee?
It sounds
dirty.
Was it perhaps Ancient Mysteries?
That might be it.
1994 to 1997.
Sounds all right.
I'm just curious. I was looking him up, but I can't find exactly what the show you're talking
about.
Were
you just, like, looking at Leonard Nimoy's IMDb?
He's done a lot of weird fiction-type stuff. Like, a lot of... It's actually hard to find it.
Well, the show I'm thinking of was, like, it was a replay. It was, like, from the 70s or 80s.
Oh, so it's old.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Gotcha.
Either way. And, you know, Let's see. So then in, like, the ninth grade, my homeroom was in the library.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day we had to read during homeroom was just a rule. And so after running out of, like, fictitious books that I enjoyed in our really shitty junior high library, I found the section on cryptozoology and on paranormal stuff. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And started reading all that. So then a couple years later, we get the internets. And, sorry, my cat was being weird. We get the internets, and I start looking on things like finding out, like Wikipedia. Like, if you go to Wikipedia and look up cryptozoology, there's a list of cryptids on here that I shit you not, there's probably 100 fucking entries or more of, like, things I've never heard of. They're from Saskatchewan, the Turtle Lake Monster. Where the fuck is Turtle Lake? I don't know.
I'll tell you, Blurry Photos, which is a show we've been talking about a lot and pitching, they introduced me to, it's a couple of episodes you should listen to, I think you would enjoy it. What do they call, it's called the Miss Cryptid Contest.
I have not listened to those yet because I didn't understand what the fuck it was.
They're doing like a Miss America pageant where each episode they put up 4 cryptids to compete against each other.
Oh, I love it.
And then they vote for them. But my favorite, because I actually went all the way to the back and I'm listening, because they're at like episode 90 now, and I'm at like episode 50-something after listening for the last 6 months, because I'm just working my way up. So this wasn't this most recent Miss Cryptid, but the one before that, they introduced to, and I quote in their strange voice, the Honey Island Swamp Monster from Louisiana. And it was a fantastic episode, because apparently you hunt the Honey Island Swamp Monster with Snicker bars and Vienna sausages.
Shut the fuck up. That's a thing.
It's a thing.
Right. So let's for those of you that aren't in the know, cryptozoology is the study of biological potential biological specimens that are unconfirmed to exist. So, an example of the there's like 3 main areas. There is just the mythological, something that has just been claimed to exist. What's an example of that? The,
dragons, chimeras,
manticores, fucking Medusa, weird shit, right?
Yeah.
There are animals that, are believed to be extinct, that have maybe been sighted since their supposed extinction. So, like, the thylacine, the Tasmanian tiger, would be considered a cryptid if there was an eyewitness account of seeing one today.
So sort of like the, say, the Loch Ness Monster being a, what is it, a plesiosaurus? Is that right? Maybe.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I mean, because it'd be cold-blooded, so I just don't get it. But yeah, okay, if you want to look at the Loch Ness Monster as a plesiosaur, then sure. Or there are things like the okapi, which is a very fucked up animal that looks like a zebra had sex with a giraffe and an antelope in a really creepy 3-way. And specimens of that were not, let me see here, the okapi was considered to just be a legend, like when white man came to Africa. But then, it's not on this list. Okay, let me just type in okapi. Because I'm a dick. Okapi. What? I thought you were going to say something. You took in a deep breath.
I was just going to say, while you were Googling, I was going to fill, as it were. But have you found okapi?
Yeah, so it wasn't discovered until 1887. And just to give you an idea, so in 1887, it wasn't confirmed by Western society to have lived. But like as of 2013, a study determined that there are 10,000 of them in the wild. That's kind of a lot of okapi.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair amount.
Which is down from 40,000 a decade ago. So they're being hunted. They are considered endangered now. So they might go back on the cryptozoology list if we think they're extinct and they're getting discovered again somewhere. Another example along that those lines would be the mountain gorilla. Mountain gorillas were believed to be just a tribal myth, lore. In Rwanda, in what is now Rwanda. But let me find the date here. They were not. Yeah, it wasn't until October 1902. So within the last century that they were
discovered.
Established, if you will, as a actual critter.
They made the jump from myth to fact, as it
were. Yeah. Absolutely. And then the other portion of cryptozoology is a known animal in an unknown area. So there have been reports of Black Panthers in England. There have been reports of those for decades. There have been weird sightings, like right by where me and your wife work. There is a set of office buildings called the Pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a rather large pond, kind of a, I mean, it's not a pond, more of a, like a small lake, right next to them that abuts a neighborhood. And some, there have been sightings of an alligator there last summer. There were sightings of an alligator there.
Interesting.
Okay, not in its natural habitat, clearly. So that would be another example of cryptozoology. And so I just find that fascinating because it's a science. It's a pseudoscience that has its own basis in fact, in some cases, you know, like mountain gorillas or what was that fucking what was that thing that like the fishermen caught in the 70s that was believed to have died out 65 million years ago?
Oh,
the weird looking fish with like six legs.
Yeah.
What was that called? Coelacanth.
Yes, I think that's right. Yeah.
So that's probably why I believe in some of the weirder ones. Because there is science behind the fact that, you know, we could not see something for 65 million years and then one day just shows up in a goddamn fishing net.
True. I mean,
you can't prove, you can't disprove, then you have to have a certain amount of doubt.
That's fair. I mean, we can get to the arguments on cryptozoology later, but I'm interested to see what else do you have to present? Do you have some favorite cryptid stories that you would like to share, or certain ones you would like to point out?
I have a really ridiculous story that I went to great lengths to chase down about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And this was, it's a story of a chupacabra, or what was believed to be a chupacabra, that some friends of mine claim to have witnessed.
Okay.
Shut the fuck up. Don't laugh at this.
So you should point out that the chupacabra is...
The goat sucker.
Goatsucker.
I mean, that's what it translates as. Now, chupacabra, there's so many varying, like, descriptions of it, and nobody has any idea of the background. Some people believe that it's the pet of aliens, of the Greys,
okay.
That when a Grey family stopped here to eat or something, and their dog ran off, which is just fucking ridiculous. Some people believe, you know, it's a vampiric thing in nature. Some people believe it's a genetically modified animal.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the great diversity in its descriptions. But some friends of mine went camping a long time ago. And the funny thing is I went to all the trouble of... I interviewed them all separately. There was three of them. And they all described the exact same fucking thing. Like, the whole story was the exact same. So that was kind of weird. and it was just, but the way they described this chupacabra was different than anything I'd ever read before. They said it was 6 foot tall, hairless, willowy, had bird-like movements, was timid, when they were in a group, with very pale skin, had no nose to speak of.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was really, really weird. Hearing their description, which, I mean, that honestly sounds like a fucking Gray, you know, but whatever. They said it was a chupacabra. and it was in I always get the two confused. It was either McCormick's Creek State Park or Shade State Park here in Indiana. Why are you laughing at this?
Just the thought of a chupacabra from Mexico. These stories are always just fascinating. Like,
they are fascinating, but listen, I went down this rabbit hole for like 2 years on the chupacabra. And so there are reports of an army lab or a military laboratory in Puerto Rico that caught fire and was irreparably damaged, and that test subjects escaped from. And it was in the late 80s, early 90s when this occurred, which was when the stories of the chupacabra started coming up. Mm. And they started in Puerto Rico and parts of Mexico. And since then, if you actually track the fucking stories, they expand northward and outward from the southern reaches of Mexico and Puerto Rico.
Mm.
Like, as if an animal were propagating and moving on.
What?
Nothing. Just, I'm allowing, just please continue with your cryptozoological stories. I find them fascinating, but at the same time, I'm not ready to put on the tinfoil hat with some of them quite yet.
If you would like a good source, cryptozoologynews.com is really great. Everybody should check that out. As a matter of fact, just 2 days ago, video footage of a Squatch with its infant on its back was released. So check that out. I have a quiz for you.
Oh, boy. You're going to jump right to that now, huh?
Oh, do you want to, or do you want me to keep going with my fucking weird bullshit that makes you laugh?
I love it. No, I like, okay, so here's the thing. I don't believe in a lot of this in the slightest, but but I love listening to the stories, and I love the people. Like, if they would edit out, so have you seen Ancient Aliens? I'm assuming you have at some point or another.
Yeah.
Okay. Crazy Italian guy who says he's a scientist, but I don't believe he's ever done science in his life.
Yeah.
If I could just listen to him lecture for like 2 hours with a PowerPoint, it would make my day. Like, listening to David Icke talk about reptilians, I could do that for hours because it just baffles me how you – all you need is just that one little sliver of some sort of truth, and then you just daisy chain bits of logic until, like you said, you descend
daisy
down this rabbit hole.
You know what a daisy chain is?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it's by the barest of margins does it link back to that truth, but you just spin down this rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I love it. So I encourage you, please continue. Tell me all you want to about cryptids, but I do not think that you will have me convinced that cryptids actually exist. There's some weird shit out there. I'll give you that. But, man, like, and trust me, definitely from the oceans, you want to talk about, like, giant squids and creepy stuff. Yeah, there's a whole lot of ocean we don't know anything about. I mean, they do, again, go back to blurry photos, they did a whole thing on underwater sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, just crazy shit that, like, oh, I forget who it is that monitors the oceans. There's some naval sonar radar things that they just put out in the Pacific and the Atlantic and just listen to stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, there are these
weird... Is they're trying to find the kaiju?
Yes, definitely. It's an early warning for kaiju. It's cool. A kaiju early detection system. But, like, you hear, like, there's one called the Bloop, and there's a couple of others where you just hear these weird noises. And they're like, yeah, this happens every so often. We have no idea what the hell it is. Like,
that's awesome.
Something's making that noise. Something somewhere. I don't know what it is. Is it, you know, ice flows cracking? Is it water pressure? Is it changes? Is it shifting? Who knows?
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in aliens?
I believe in the possibility of aliens.
Oh, that's so fucking vague.
No. I believe it is highly likely that there are other intelligent – see, the problem with that question is I believe that there are other intelligent beings out there, and they're very possible. That there's so much out there. There's no way that we are, unless it's just some mockery of intelligent life, that we are the only beings out here who are intelligent. That being said, this universe is so massive. What is the likelihood that we would run into – another being like us? And if we do, why would they walk around sneakily and murder our cows and abduct people and stick things in their butt? Like, it just makes no sense. Like, I'll give you that an alien, you know, species would of course be alien and do weird things, but I don't think they showed up to, like, you know, cattle prod people.
Well, you know, have you ever heard the theory that, you know, like, grays are bipedal, and in many ways resemble many of our own features?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the theory that they created Earth as a divergent evolutionary tract to study?
I mean,
and that's why they abduct people. They're just taking random samplings of the critters.
Yeah, but if okay, again, acknowledging that alien is alien and we could not possibly understand it. If you are creating a divergent, okay, so if we're just in a giant petri dish and we're being, you know, experimented on, you don't want the rats to know you're experimenting on them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe they just don't accept the fact that we could be knowledgeable of them, but I would assume that you want to keep your test subjects unknowing. I would imagine if they could test us, they're testing us while we sleep. Like, have you ever seen that movie Dark City?
Yeah.
Where the guy just, like, changes everything in the middle of the night and no one even ever knows that they were a poor person yesterday and now they have millions of dollars?
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, to me, if aliens were using us as a scientific experiment, that's what it would be like. We would go to bed one night, and then you'd wake up the next day, and everything would be changed, and you'd be sleeping next to a different person, and you'd be in a different house, and whatever. Like,
maybe that is happening.
And it might be, you know.
you really need to ask Chad sometime about his alien story.
I love them. I love the stories.
He has the classic, like, I think it actually happened in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, like his exact story. But, yeah, so I believe in a lot of things.
That's fair.
A lot of things. If anything, I believe that all mythology comes from some fact somewhere.
I think that's a fair statement, but I mean, exaggeration is also a part of human storytelling, too.
It is, but like, when, how do I put this? So I'm Catholic. Mm. I'm devoutly Catholic. I'm a religious person. You know, nobody knows that because I don't fucking talk about it. And I'm a big sinner. But really, aren't we all? But as a Catholic, I have to, as a part of my indoctrination, I have to believe in the saints.
Right.
Well, Saint George was made a saint because he killed a fucking dragon.
This is true.
So technically, I have to believe in dragons.
That's such a stretch.
It's a stretch, but it's there.
I mean, I agree. It's just that when you look at the science behind some of this stuff, it just, mm-hmm. There's so much fear and psychological paranoia behind some of these cryptids that it's hard to believe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Mothman. They're like, oh, he's a portent of doom, and he, like, sits on my porch and watches me while I watch TV, and there are all kinds of stories like that. And it's like, yeah, I don't think a giant human-sized bat-flying thing is gonna behave that way. Maybe, mm-hmm. But it's like, so he only showed up a few times on these few people's porches. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the Jersey Devil, there are a bunch of them like that. You know, Sasquatch, could there be primitive man surviving out there somewhere? Maybe, but I would think by now we would have run across him in something that wasn't shaky cam footage.
You know that there has never been found the body of a bear that has died of natural causes?
Hmm, really?
So take something the size of a bear and give it semi-human intelligence. Don't you think it could avoid fucking cities?
I don't know.
And it's not like we're fucking Native Americans out there hunting for food. Like, we're out there stinking and walking around in bright-ass orange, firing guns, and wearing clodhopper boots that, you know, crack every twig. Like, don't you think it could avoid us?
No, I'm not saying that an intelligence couldn't, but what I'm saying
is... I am fighting for Sasquatch! Shut the fuck up!
You fight the good fight, man. I would just think that as we expand and get bigger, we're pushing farther and farther into these places. I mean, where you and I live right now used to be full of woods. Mm-hmm. If the Squatch was here, then you would think the Indians would have known about it, well, theoretically.
Listen, I want you to go ahead and back up, because the Squatch doesn't live in Indiana. We have the Skunk Ape, and the Indians did know of it.
This is fantastic. I love it.
Emperor Constantine the Great, the 57th emperor of the Roman Empire, was said to ride into battle on the back of the hippogriff, like Harry Potter 3 hippogriff.
Well, they also say that, 300 Spartans defended the pass at Thermopylae against 2 million, you know, Middle Eastern guys.
Fact.
But that didn't happen like that, though.
Well, no, it didn't happen like Frank Miller said, but goddammit, the Battle of Thermopylae. There was so much blood on the beach that it was knee-deep.
Well, again, I think that's human exaggeration, because I did study the Battle of Thermopylae, and there were actually almost 1,000 people guarding the pass, and they probably went up against maybe 10,000 people, not 300 versus 2 million. I'm just saying.
You know, the winners are the ones that get to write the books, so nobody won with Sasquatch. Oh.
They lost it.
Oh, that's true, isn't it?
And they still got the right history.
Son of a bitch.
But no, what are there any other super awesome, what other cryptozoological ones would you like to mention? Because I do find it fascinating. I love to see what sort of interesting things people explain bizarre phenomena with. Because they're always getting blamed. Like, is there a single, helpful cryptozoological creature?
Yeah. I have a friend that swears she saw a leprechaun. I can't make that up. It's not really a friend. She was just an acquaintance, and I'm pretty sure she was crazy.
You're not helping your point with cryptozoology here.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know. Do you ever watch, what was that movie called? I think it was called Baby? Mm-mm. All right, let me... Oh, for fuck's sake. trying to Google it here.
It's just interesting that so many natural phenomena, so many unexplained things, like you were just talking about earlier, you have fear, you have adrenaline pumping, your brain sees things that may or may not be there. It's something interesting. They always talk about people with evolution. But if you think about it, if 10 million years ago we were all cavemen, right? And we went out and there was a loud noise and one of us went to investigate the noise and the other one ran away, I'd say there's a coin flip probability that the one who went to investigate the noise died. So his genes died. So I've always believed that fear is an inherent human thing that has just been inbred within us because all the chickens kept huddling in the caves and survived to propagate, where all the brave former human beings went out and got killed. Mm-hmm. So I totally believe that we're meant to fear the dark, to fear noises of animals, to fear these things. But once you get sort of fear plus imagination plus adrenaline is where some of these things arise, which is always interesting to hear story-wise.
Have you ever heard of the movie Baby, Secret of the Lost Legend? It's from 1985, so before you were born.
This is true.
It's about the Mekele Mbembe. Mbembe? I'm sorry, I always say that wrong. It's about, which is pretty much a brontosaurus.
Okay.
But the fucked up part, the African tribes that have the theory or the story of Mekele Mbembe described it before we knew what an apatosaur looked like, described it as an apatosaur. I mean, they didn't use the word apatosaur, but right. Like, they would draw pictures of it in carvings and what have you, and it would look like what you would see today as a brontosaurus. That's kind of fucked up, man.
I agree.
How would a tribe in the Congo know what a fucking dinosaur looks like?
This is true, and I do think that with some of those sightings, like creatures from the Amazon or up in the Himalayas or in Africa. Africa is a massive continent, and the heart of Africa is just woods and jungle and desert where people just don't go. Mm-hmm. Like something like – I remember hearing this in one of my evolutionary biology classes. Like there are like 50 new species of beetle discovered every day in the Amazon. Because these beetles just mate and intermate with the different breeds and they create new species. So I could totally believe that maybe some sort of weird things, kind of like you were talking about, like the mountain gorillas or the zebra horse anteater or whatever you said.
Okapi.
The okapi. Like, yeah, those are places where they could exist. Is the skunk ape wandering around in my backyard right now digging through my trash? Probably not.
But it could be.
This is where I
could be.
This is where I draw the line. Like, I don't believe that dragons are wandering around England. Maybe 1,000 years ago, but I kind of doubt it.
But then why would completely divergent societies, the natives of South and North America, Western, the Europeans, Africans, and Asians, and even some of the Aborigine tribes, all have stories that when they describe the creature in them, they all sound like dragons?
I think we're talking about the extension of fear again. What is something that all of those places have in common? Snakes. So what would be scarier than a poisonous snake? A really big poisonous snake. Now what would be
that breathes
even scarier?
Fire and can fly.
That's what I'm saying. You tell that story a couple more times, so I tell a story. I'm like, dude, no, the snake was like this big. And the next guy says, nuh-uh, I saw it. The snake was this big and had wings. Oh, yeah? This snake – I mean, like, that's kind of how things happen sometimes. I'm not saying that perhaps dragons is the best example of it, but
I think
human beings all have a fear of snakes. I think that's naturally bred into our subconscious, our inherited coward genes.
You ever read Eaters of the Dead?
No.
It's a book by Michael Crichton, and it is – it's a retelling of a firsthand account from a Muslim who was sent as an emissary to the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how else, but it was kind of like, kind of just got stuck with them. It became the movie The 13th Warrior with Antonio Banderas, which sucked. The book is really good, and it's all from based on translations from his text of his story. And so, okay, I tell that story. Let me tell another little story real quick to get back into it. Okay, woolly mammoths died out 15,000 years ago.
Right.
But then about 20 years ago, they find this little island near Greenland where they found where they carbon dated the remains of woolly mammoths and found out that on this island they only died like 5,000 years ago.
Okay.
So in the time of modern man, in the time of history, like where we were recording things, you know, when the pyramids have been built already, there were woolly mammoths still on the earth.
I think I could agree with that because, I mean, you know, cold climate. Are there a few left? Possible. I mean, carbon dating's not exact. It's not like they know exactly 5,000 years ago to the day. Maybe, you know, five to eight. So could they exist a few thousand years longer propagating on some small island? Well, Greenland's not exactly small, but you know what I mean.
It was an island off the coast of Greenland.
Because, I mean, I could they last for a while? Yes. But, again, that's location and climate, I think, have a lot to do with that. Anyway.
So then we go back to the story of the 13th warrior.
Yeah.
And I believe his name was – it was Ibn Fadlan, as I recall, but I haven't read it in years. And in his text, he describes – now, he goes north with the Vikings in his group and has to learn of their culture and their differences and whatever. And they were talking about these creatures that live in the hills or in the mountains by their village. And that these creatures were mad, and they had been attacking this one village, and so these guys set out to go fortify the village and stop the invading force. So Fadlan thinks that they are just, you know, like mountain people, just people, you know, that wildlings, if you will, if we want to talk Game of Thrones, right? Coming down and attacking. What he later finds out, like what he describes, is Neanderthal.
Mm.
Heavy browed, hairy, short, squat, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, this was written within the past, whatever, 1500 years ago or so.
Right.
Story. So, isn't it possible if there was in the north, you know, the idea of a group of Neanderthal still living? Couldn't that be Bigfoot?
Mm.
Or couldn't that be the basis for the legend of Bigfoot that the natives, you know, because Sasquatch is a Native American word.
Right. You
know? Nobody from the West knew of the Yeti until people in the Himalayas told them about it.
I mean, is it possible? Maybe. Like, I see where you're going, and there it's really interesting.
I'm not saying that there's Neanderthals wandering around the Pacific Northwest right now.
Right.
That really all they need to do is go find a local Starbucks. but, you know, that could be where the cultural references of Bigfoot came from.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, they talk about there's been a lot of study as to whether or not ancient man, you know, more descendant of our line, so like Homo erectus and whatnot, and what was before that?
Homo habilis?
Yes, habilis or whatever it is.
And then Australopithecine?
It is possible. I don't know if it was – I think it's Homo habilis could have I think they're the ones who were theoretically at the same timeline as the Neanderthals. And there's thought that we were close enough together that we could have crossbred.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a DNA study going on now to see the percentage of Neanderthal genes in modern man. So today, how much, you know, how much Neanderthal DNA do you and I have, kind of thing.
That's cool.
So I definitely think that that's possible. But I think that, if anything, it dispels some of the ancient myths by talking about this. So you're talking about, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, a guy from the Middle East walks all the way up to where the Vikings are. There are signs of in ancient graves in China, there are blonde-haired, blue-eyed individuals. You know, there's European genes being found in China and Eastern Asia. And you're also seeing people have proven that it's theoretically possible for people to travel. I mean, not just across the Bering Strait, but theoretically you could get on a boat across certain areas of the Atlantic and the Pacific and settle in what would eventually become South America. So if anything, I think it's it's more interconnected for those myths.
Well, no, didn't the people from South America, that was from our natives that just trickled downward, that came across the Bering Strait?
There are some people that believe that, but there are other people that think that it's possible that they could have made it across the Pacific Ocean. Like, it sounds nuts, wow, because it's so big, but I don't
remember. I mean, but then how did Hawaii get, you know, populated?
Yeah, because that's the thing. There are all these islands.
That's halfway,
and,
fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane, but for some reason, I think there was a scientist who wanted to prove it so bad, like, he just, like, got a couple trees together, tied a rope together, and just set off across the Pacific and landed somewhere in South America.
And was never heard from again.
That's because he got killed by the mafia, as opposed to, you know, he got killed by drug lords and cartels, as opposed to...
Oh, okay. He said mafia. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You do know Mexico is not in South America, right?
Yeah. Well, there are cartels in South America.
Okay, I'm just checking.
It's Central America.
Okay, let me do my little quiz here.
All right.
Because this is getting long.
Oh, yeah, we're being super long-winded.
But it just, you know, this is a really interesting topic. I want to kind of continue it sometime. I have a list here of fucking, what am I saying?
Cryptids.
Cryptids, thank you. That was the word. You are going to say whether they are made up, whether they are a real animal that has become extinct and has been sighted, or are they completely mythological, or are they from my imagination, or are, you know, just whatever. I want you to say what kind of cryptid they are.
Okay, so these are all, so my choices are that it's A, a cryptid, B, based in scientific fact, or C, bullshit. Is that kind of what we're going?
Yes.
Okay.
So, let me get the list up here so that I can verify with what you say. Number one, the bunyip.
Oh, I know. This one's not fair. I know this one. This is an Australian cryptid.
How do you know that?
Blurry photos, man.
Fucking blurry photos, you cocksuckers. Okay, so...
So there's one. I got one.
Tell us of the bunyip.
I don't remember at all.
Okay, I'll just... Ooh, the Beast of Bray Road. I love that story. That's good stuff. That's another one that happened, like, all over in different places. Or what about the... Oh, okay, sorry. I just got added one to the list here. The bunyip. There it is. Okay, it is a lake or cave animal. There is a drawing of it. It is holding a man in its mouth. That's weird. It's a large mythical creature from Aboriginal mythology said to lurk in swamps, billabongs, and creeks. The origin of the word bunyip has been traced to the Wemba Wemba, or Wagara, language of Aboriginal people of southeastern Australia. Bunyip appears to have formed part of traditional Aboriginal beliefs and stories throughout Australia, although its name varied according to tribal nomenclature. The characteristics of it... Oh, they are widely varied. No shit. It's described as a water spirit.
I always picture a platypus when they talk about the bunyip. I don't know why.
It's huge. Robert Brow Smith's Aborigines of Victoria, which is a book from 1878, devoted 10 pages to the bunyip, but concluded, in truth, little is known among the blacks respecting its form, covering, or habits. They appear to have been in such dread of it as to have been unable to take note of its characteristics. So, let's see, a 19th century newspaper account includes dog-like face, crocodile-like head, dark fur, a horse-like tail, flippers, and walrus-like tusks or horns, or sometimes a duckbill.
Oh, I have to find you the episode I listened to about the Inside Out thing from Scotland. I don't remember what it's called, but it's crazy, just like that. The description's just nuts. Anyway, do continue.
Just reading something else. Sorry. Okay. Let's see, what about the Kraken?
The Kraken?
Mm-hmm.
See, I would say that the Kraken is based in scientific fact because we have found evidence of giant squids.
Right. So the Kraken is listed as unconfirmed, possibly a giant squid. So
there we go.
There you go.
Giant squids are so cool.
They are pretty cool. We now have seen footage of them, which is neat.
Mm-hmm.
The Doidus penetris.
Doidus penetris?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say you made that shit up just because penetris sounds like you're trying to say Latin for penetrate.
That was from a fake commercial we recorded for the Rancor's Brothel like a year and a half ago about an Australian bird that it's a rape bird. It rapes tourists. Yeah. So good job. Good job.
Yeah, look at that. 3 for 3.
Yeah, you're doing all right. Okay, the thylacine.
Thylacine. That to me sounds like a dinosaur, so I'm going to go with a B, that it is something that is real.
It was real, however, not a dinosaur. That is the Tasmanian tiger.
Ah.
So, believed to have been extinct since the early part of the 20th century. However, some sightings have indicated that there may be some thylacine still out in the outback.
Gotcha.
Let's see. The crate dragon.
Crate
being K-R-A-Y-T.
Crate dragon. It's awful specific, but mm-hmm. I think I'll still go with that it's a cryptid.
A cryptid meaning?
Cryptid meaning that it's just kind of things that it has no basis in scientific fact. Oh.
That is correct. The crate dragon is, it's from Tatooine. the skeleton of one is seen in A New Hope. It is a large beast that lives in the desert. Good job. Okay. The Olm.
Olm. How do you spell Olm?
O-L-M.
I'm going to go with that is an Indian cryptid. It's like from the Himalayas or something.
That'd be interesting. No, the Olm is a salamander from Slovenia.
Huh. Well, there you
it's
go.
A blind cave salamander. The reason I put it on this list is because it was believed by locals until they actually identified it as an animal like 100 years ago. When it would rain very heavily, the Olm, being amphibious, would as their underwater caverns would flood, they would be pushed up through the cracks in the mountainside. And so people would be walking on their paths and find these weird flesh color. They were pink, like flesh-colored little dragons, and they thought they were baby dragons.
That
had escaped the heart of the mountain.
Now, see, that's interesting, because that would be definitely creepy as shit.
Yeah.
But it has a scientific basis. So I'll lose the points on that, because that's a real thing.
It's okay. You can look up the Olm, O-L-M. It's pretty cool. Part of my family's from Slovenia, and so we had Slovene Fest this past Sunday. And so I talked about the Olm for a while.
Oh, that thing's freaky looking.
Isn't it? It looks like a dick with legs.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Now I'll probably mispronounce this. The Hohenheim turtle.
Hohenheim turtle.
That's three words.
That is.
Turtle is, of course, the third word.
That is. It's got three names. It means it's a killer that was signed by the CIA. It shot Kennedy. No, terrible joke. I'm gonna go with that. It is a real thing.
It is now a real thing.
Ah.
Until the 60s, it was believed to be a Vietnamese turtle god that lived only in this one small urban lake, or what is now urban. And in the 60s, a specimen was actually recovered of it. It's a 6'3" soft-shelled turtle.
Huh.
It's fucking huge.
Wow.
It's believed that there are only 5 specimens left, and the problem is soft-shelled turtles bury their eggs on land. Almost the entire shoreline of this lake is paved, except for one small, like, 20-foot stretch of rocky beach. And, of course, it's in the middle of Vietnam, which is horribly polluted.
Yeah.
And so they think that they're all going to die now. But, yeah, that was just an interesting
way
little
to go.
Critter.
Way to go, mankind. Killing shit off.
Yeah. Okay, where's this one at? The Beast of Busco.
I'm going to have to go with bullshit on that one. That sounds like something you made up.
I did not make that up. That is an Indiana cryptid. It's a giant turtle.
Hmm.
It was named Oscar by the farmer that believed it ate his cow.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. The farmer actually drained the pond on his property to find it. It was supposed to be the size of, like, a Volkswagen. It's in Churubusco, Indiana. Churubusco.
Good Lord.
Yeah, there you go. That's fun. Let's see here. Okay, the Crimson Eurados.
Let's see, that one sounds dirty, so I'm going to call bullshit on that one, too.
You're right. That was actually the red. I said crimson instead of red, and very horribly mispronounced Gyarados. If you recall, there was a red Gyarados in Pokemon Gold and Silver. Gyarados are normally blue.
Yeah.
It's a flying and water type Pokemon. So it was it took double damage from lightning. Thank you. good job. Okay, let's see. Skunk Ape, we already talked about it. I gotta take that one off. Minock.
Oh, Minocks are from Star Wars. I know that.
Good job. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you fucking lost Crate Dragon, dickhead.
Well, you know. They don't say Crate Dragon, though. That's just, you have to read the books to know that. They definitely use the word Minock.
All right, the Colo Clawfish.
Colo Clawfish. I'm going to say that that is a cryptid.
Nope, that's also Star Wars. Suck it. That's the big fish in episode 1 that's chasing them when they're on their bonko going through the center of Naboo.
Oh, that doesn't count. That's not a real Star Wars episode.
okay, the Honshu Wolf.
Honshu Wolf. Honshu sounds like a Native American term, so I'm going to go with that it is a Native American spirit cryptid.
No, it is an extinct Japanese wolf from the village of Honshu.
Okay.
It's officially considered extinct, however, there have been recent unconfirmed sightings.
So, cryptid level.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
A cryptid that once for sure lived.
Ah.
Okay, my last one is Strumpf.
Strumpf. Sounds very German.
I believe it was Belgian.
Kind of close. We're going to go with No, see, it sounds too much like Rumpelstiltskin or something. So I'm going to say that it's bullshit.
Shroomf? Here we go. Did you mean Shroomf? I spelled it. Shroomf was a Belgian comic created by a gentleman named Peyo in 1958. The Americanized version of it is the Smurfs.
See, that's... If it wasn't almost 11 o'clock at night, I might have realized that you were talking about the Smurfs.
Yeah. I was proud of that one when I wrote it out.
I was like,
Les Strumpfs.
I was saying, as soon as you said that, like, I've read Les Strumpfs in French classes. Like, as soon as you said that, I'm like, why am I just picturing, like, little gremlin and or fairy people?
That's funny, dude. That's funny. Yeah.
So there we go. There's a little bit of cryptid in our listener lives.
Yeah, that's, you got it.
Very cool.
So, yay for the Smurfs and the Crate Dragons, the Colo Clawfish.
Yep.
I was real proud of pronouncing Gyarados, and you fucking said it was made up. God damn it. I was like, that sounds almost fake enough.
Yep.
What about Ogopogo?
Ogopogo? See, mm-hmm. I picture that as being like a creepy demon from Thailand. So I'd say that's a fantastical cryptid type thing.
Yeah, it's a plesiosaur in Canada.
Oh,
well, what about Oingo Boingo?
That sounds like a place you take your kids on a Saturday afternoon. Hey, I'm gonna take the kids to Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo was a band. It was a rock band. It was a rock band from 1972 called the Mystic Knights of Oingo Boingo. And I believe one of their more famous members, let me find it here, was Danny Elfman. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, I hope all of our listeners enjoyed our late night rambling of cryptozoology and other things. I encourage people, because Matt and I obviously could spend more time on this subject, if you like the show, let us know on the Facebook page, and maybe we'll do some more cryptozoology.
Maybe we'll do some oofology.
Oofology.
Yeah. You know what that is, right?
No, I have no clue.
It's the study of UFOs.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's pronounced oofology, it's weird.
So then we could talk about aliens?
Yeah. I guess. You fucking goober.
What can I do?
Go out there and catch you a Crimson Gyarados, everybody.
I will. Yes, if you get a Crimson Gyarados, you be sure to post it on the Facebook page so we can confirm that shit. Before we go, couple of announcements, assuming we still mm-hmm. have listeners going on.
Sorry. Sorry, guys. Long-winded.
Yeah, but that's okay. It's been fun. It's a good one. This Saturday, we're having a Brothel at the Dungeon event. Unfortunately, Matt has to work, so he's not going to be there. Boo. But Lucas and I will be doing a live show at the Androids Dungeon, which opens at 10 o'clock. So we'll be there from 10 to 3, recording all kinds of shenanigans for later posting on iTunes and whatnot. And then at 3:30, there'll be a book club over Black Science Volume 1, which is awesome. So if you can make it, come check it out and say hello to Lucas and I. Only other announcement I have, our good buddy Ian Shannon, who does our intro music because he's awesome, Sleep for the Weary, and MigrantAudio.com. He recently composed music for another sort of podcast. This is actually a vlog on vaping, so smoking alternatives. So if you'd like to see Ian in the flesh and hear his song and a little bit of music, it was episode 8 of the YouTube vlog called So Much Vape. And his interview starts at about 16 minutes and runs about 5 or 6 minutes. But if you like vaping and are interested, they do a 45-minute episode on vaping and trying products and stuff. So it seems like they're pretty cool guys.
And also on September 13th at Hummel Park in Avon, there will be a set up like a drive-in movie at the park kind of a thing. You don't have to sit in your car. You don't want to. viewing of Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier. At 8:30 p.m., again, September 13th at Hummel Park in Avon. To get in.
That sounds really awesome. Is that a Saturday or a Friday?
That is a Saturday night.
It is.
Question mark?
It is.
And I'm going to be there because it's going to be cool.
That will be cool. As always, follow us on Rancor's Brothel on Facebook. And check out Follow Networks. They're doing all kinds of stuff right now. They're doing, what would you call that, kind of group crowdsourcing of creative
ideas. Yeah.
So check that out. I saw that Chad was posting some concept ideas on his Facebook page there. So
yeah, and they're putting together another one of our concepts of a time travel comic right now, where they took a bunch of ideas from other people and making an amalgam. So it'll be very interesting to see. So
very cool. And you can still get Orca for free.
Mm-hmm. Orca is still for free. Feel free to donate. Yeah. And that's it. So www.followthe.tv. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.